And the hits don't stop till we reach the top. I'm Casey Kasem on American Top 40. Now, on with the countdown. Coming in at number 39 this week, Alec Murdaugh's attorneys motion for a new trial. So anyway, I don't know why I felt the need to go into Casey Kasem there. But yeah, we are going through this motion right now here on part two. I'm going to pick up where we left off on segment one here this morning, where we just learned that Tim Stone, the person that the clerk of court accused of being the ex-husband of one of the jurors and posting something that she was going to talk about her choice of verdict early on, turned out to not even be her ex-husband. And it turned out that this post never existed that she told the judge about. So there we go.
It's shocking. I'm shaking my head so much. My neck hurts.
On February 28th, Ms. Hill, because it gets worse, questioned juror number 785 about the fictitious post on Waterboro word of mouth. Sounds like a good group to be in. Alone in her office in the courthouse, affidavit of juror number 785 is in Exhibit H. She told juror number 785 that someone had emailed her stating that her ex-husband, Tim Stone, posted on the Waterboro word of mouth Facebook page that juror number 785 had been drinking with her ex-husband, and that while drunk, she expressed opinions on the guilt or innocence of Mr. Murdaugh. Juror number 785 told Ms. Hill that never happened and that she had not seen her ex-husband in 10 years. Juror number 785 asked to see the post, but Ms. Hill would not show it to her. Ms. Hill directly asked juror number 785 whether she was inclined to vote guilty or not guilty. Juror number 785 said she had not made up her mind. Later that day, Ms. Hill told juror number 785 that SLED and Colton County Sheriff's Office personnel went to Mr. Stone's house and he confirmed he made the post. This is a fabrication by Ms. Hill. Ms. Hill told juror number 785 she would somehow reinstate a restraining order juror number 785 previously had against Mr. Stone, which is something that Ms. Hill did not have the authority to do. Still later that day, Judge Newman examined juror number 785 regarding both the non-existent Facebook post and the tenant coworker email. It says in camera, draft of in camera, and that's talking about Exhibit I. Juror number 785 described her interactions with Ms. Hill regarding the Facebook post. She denied making any inappropriate comments about the case to third parties and stated she wanted to hear closing arguments before forming an opinion on Mr. Murdaugh's guilt or innocence. After she was dismissed, Judge Newman said, "Oh boy, I'm not too pleased about the clerk interrogating a juror as opposed to coming to me and bringing it to me." He was right to be concerned. The next day, March 1st, 2023, the jury visited Moselle, the site of the murders. During the visit, four-person juror number 826 and Ms. Hill walked off to have yet another private conversation. In her book, Ms. Hill more vaguely hints at communicating her opinion on Mr. Murdaugh's guilt to the jury during the visit to the Moselle property. And she stated in her book, "While the jurors viewed the Moselle property, we all could hear and see Alec's story was impossible. Some of us, either from the courthouse, law enforcement, or jury at Moselle, had an epiphany and shared our thoughts with our eyes." This almost kind of reminding me of the Lori Vallow, Daybell love letters.
Yeah.
"At that moment, many of us standing there knew, I knew, and they knew that Alex was guilty." Little note here for yourselves, if you're wanting to go and read this woman's book, good luck. It sucks. It's really poorly written with no punctuation. And it's self-published. It's written by someone who has no clue how to write a book, did not run this thing even through easily accessible tools like Grammarly to try and fix this thing up.
Ugh.
It's a piece of shit.
So she was never going to get the fame that she was hoping for.
No, she never even had a publisher. And it's not to say that you couldn't make money off of a self-published book these days. You really can. But cream rises to the crop. And if your book sucks, and there's a gazillion books about Alec Murdaugh now, it doesn't matter. But hey, she made a shot. And in her shot and attempt, she's going to cause a new trial.
She's going to have a lot of time to write another book.
Yeah, what it's like to be in prison because of narcissism related to Alec Murdaugh, but it's your own. That day, Judge Newman also held an in-camera conference regarding the tenant co-worker email in which he decided to revisit the Facebook post issue with Ms. Hill. The court saying, "Okay, well, let me see what Becky is talking about. I wanted to revisit the Facebook post that you mentioned yesterday. Ms. Hill then says, right, the court. That's Becky Hill, the clerk of court. Can you tell us about that Facebook post? Ms. Hill, yes, I think it was Friday evening. Just for a brief moment, I pursued Facebook, got on Waterboro word of mouth, and saw where someone had said that, well, it was the ex-husband of a juror. And he said that he noticed that his ex-wife was saying that she was on the jury and saying stuff about how her verdict was going to be and that he was the ex-husband, but she was known for talking way too much. And then I just kept on scrolling because that was enough for me. I've gotten enough. That's Ms. Hill. Court says, and how did you determine it was he? How did you determine who he was talking about? When I heard there was an email on Monday, I figured the two went together if it was true. The court said, well, she's confirmed that she has an ex-husband who she has 3 restraining orders against. So, right. So then we looked on Monday after you told me to try to go back and look at it, and we couldn't find it. But then we found out his name, and we found the post and printed it where he said that he had put something up, but that he had deleted it at the time, and he had put stuff out there that wasn't nice. The court, he said he got drunk afterwards. The meters? What is this? Something about the devil, it says. Yeah. Mr. Harputalin, didn't he say it was Satan in it? Miss Hill, Satan was in it. Yes. In all the details, yes. The court, all right. Miss Hill, made me do it. The court, okay. I just wanted to have it on the record. You're reading a Facebook post by the ex-husband who said it. Of course, you haven't talked with him, so you don't know where he got this information from. Miss Hill, I don't. I can't. I can find it, though. But Miss Hill never saw any such Facebook post. She made it up. Further, she knew the apology post was not posted by juror number 785, ex-husband. Juror number 785 showed Miss Hill a picture of her ex-husband, which is not the Facebook profile picture of the other Mr. Stone's post about Satan.
Oh, Jesus.
Why?
And this was the drunk post,
this
right?
This is the drunk post. We're dealing...
Okay.
Why are we always going to these levels in these court cases where it's involving supernatural things? Like, why? The next day, March 2nd, 2023, the day of the verdict, juror number 785 received a call from her ex-husband that she did not answer. The call upset her because Miss Hill's lies had led her to believe he was posting on Facebook about her and might be stalking her. Juror number 785 asked to speak with Miss Hill. She told Miss Hill she was scared. Miss Hill told her that the Murtaughs probably got to him, meaning her ex-husband. Miss Hill once again asked her opinion regarding Mr. Murtaugh's guilt. Juror number 785 told her that Creighton Waters' closing was good, but that she still had questions. Ms. Hill asked what questions. Juror number 785 replied that she was concerned that no murder weapon was found. Ms. Hill then asked, well, that what makes you think he's guilty? Juror number 785 said Paul's video at the dog kennels. Ms. Hill then told juror number 785 that everything Mr. Murtaugh has said has been lies and that I should forget about the guns. They will never be seen again. Ms. Hill then asked juror number 785 about the views of the rest of the jury, telling her that if the foreperson would just go in and ask for a raise of hands, that this would be done and over with, and everyone needs to be on the same page. Juror number 785 went to the jury room and 10 minutes later was excused from the jury. In the court, and this is in one of the, gives a citing for one of the pieces of evidence, in open court immediately after her excusal, juror number 785 asked Judge Newman if he had spoken with the clerk of court, referring to the conversation earlier that morning with Miss Hill. And then there's video of the trial proceedings that's provided. Judge Newman responded that I have not spoken with her today and that this is totally independent of any conversation regarding her ex-husband, apparently misunderstanding her question to refer to the issue of the Facebook post. When the jury began deliberating that evening, Miss Hill told him that this shouldn't take us long, and that if they deliberated past 11 p.m., they would be taken directly to a hotel, even though none were preparing to stay overnight. It's almost kind of a veiled threat, if you will, a passive aggressive. You know, that's uncomfortable. You don't have your stuff and you know, that sort of way of thinking. Additionally, smokers on the grand jury asked to be allowed to take smoke breaks, as they had previously been allowed to during the 6-week trial. But Miss Hill told them that they could not smoke until deliberations were complete. It's like telling a child you can't get up from the table until you finish your dinner.
Yeah.
Holly Miller, juror number 326, is the testimony of that. There were six smokers on the jury. Ms. Hill told jurors that after the trial, they would be famous and predicted that the media would request interviews with them. Ms. Hill even handed out reporters' business cards to jurors during the trial. Juror number 7 or 578 took this to heart and made an appearance on Good Morning America the night of the verdict, which is why on the day the jury began deliberations, he wore a suit coat for the first time during the trial. After the verdict, he and immediately before sentencing, Ms. Hill pressured the jury to speak as a group to reporters for a network news show. She traveled with jurors to New York City when they appeared on the Today Show. She got her book deal. Her book, Behind the Doors of Justice, was released on August 1st, 2023. I wouldn't call it a book deal when you're signing yourself up on a independent publishing website. I got a book deal. Yeah, I got a McDonald's deal, too. I pressed order. At last point about Ms. Hill's efforts to promote her book shows her dishonest efforts to profit from the trial continued well after the verdict. A film crew negotiated a contract with the Colton County Sheriff's Department to use courthouse bailiffs to provide security while they filmed a documentary at the Colton County Courthouse when it was closed for Confederate Memorial Day on May 10th, 2023.
It is the South, though. Remember that.
I didn't know there was a Confederate Memorial Day, and I live in the South. But that's like the South. I'm like Northern Arkansas. So the film crew had previously recorded an interview with Ms. Hill. On May 9th, Ms. Hill sent a memorandum to the film crew purporting to be an addendum to the contract. Mem from Rebecca Hill, May 9th, 2023's Exhibit K and Inichi demanded that the film crew pay Colton County a fee of $1,000 per day for use of courthouse facilities and made a nonsensical statement about not having authority outside South Carolina that reflects a failure to understand the choice of law clause in the contract. Then she bizarrely added a handwritten demand. It says, quote, also, in exchange for the use of the likeness of Rebecca Hill in an interview, a minimum of unclear 5-second video and audio clips will accompany the usage on first reference. Make any sense. The book cover for the book Behind the Doors of Justice, The Murtaugh Murders, will be shown, and audio will include Becky's introduction as clerk of court for Colton County and author of the book. So she's trying to write something in there, from what I'm understanding, is that for 5 seconds, they will show a copy of her book on camera, is what she's trying to negotiate. In a very shitty, I've never done this before in my life way, just like I've probably never upended a major trial in a way. The film crew ignored her addendum as the contract had already been executed. But like her jury tampering during trial, it was an attempt to violate South Carolina code, which proves no public official, public member, or public employee may knowingly use his official office, membership, or employment to obtain an economic interest for themselves. Then we go into legal standard on this, a defendant, a criminal prosecution. This is a lot of legalese that's citing where and why these conclusions have been made. The argument on this, as the state official, Rebecca Hill, the elected clerk of court, had an extensive private communication with members of the jury during the trial. The allegation is supported by sworn affidavits of jurors and a witness to juror interviews, testimony at in-camera proceedings, and other evidence, including Ms. Hill's own book. The court, therefore, must hold a Reamer evidentiary hearing. And this is citing other cases as to why they have to do that. If the allegations are proven at the evidentiary hearing, then under binding appellate precedent, the court must grant a new trial unless it clearly appears that the subject matter of the communication was harmless and could not have affected the verdict. I think it's pretty clear that this was not harmless and it could have affected the verdict.
Yeah.
That's the gist of it. I think that's pretty much everything in here. There's, if you want to, it is online, it is searchable, and it has all of these exhibits in there. If you want to read them, it goes into detail of some of these conversations. You can even get a nice little look at her book. Oh, it looks like she even autographed it. In the copy that's in the affidavit, she autographed the book. It says Rebecca Hill, and right below it, in quotations, Becky.
That's just evidence, you know? It's just, come on.
So it's all there. I would be shocked if this did not end up going to a retrial. Now, that could take quite some time. These processes are not fast at all. So if we're to predict when is the next Alec Murdaugh trial, I'm going to go with, well, it's 2023 right now, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to go with fall of 2024. I'm going to go with autumn. I'm going to go down. I'm going to say September of 2024.
You think it's going to take almost a year?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Okay. See, I'm thinking spring. I think they've already got all the paperwork they need. Mm-hmm. I think they're just going to throw it into high gear.
There's a lot of motions that need to be filed. This needs to go through a lot of paths, though, first. But who knows? Who knows? Spring, fall, what's your month? Which month are you going to say?
I like March.
Okay. You got March. What did I say? September?
You said September.
March or September. We'll see who wins on this one. But I would put a lot of money that we're going to see a replay of this trial, and it may look very different in round two.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.